Welcome back, guys, to the Enablers podcast.
Yay!
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going into the main topic of today's discussion, and perhaps it's rooted to the fact that one of us is most likely going back home
dun,
to Malaysia.
Dun, dun.
We shall not discuss who that is today, but let's keep it open-ended. It got us thinking a lot about life away from home in general, and we wanted to discuss our perspectives and our experiences. The first question being, when did we first leave our homes?
Karin?
Well, I first left when I was 16 to go to a boarding school. But to be fair, the boarding school that I ended up going to was literally right in front of my house.
How far from your house?
I probably will say about 10 minutes walk.
Are you joking? No.
<I'm not. laughs>
Actually, this is brand new. I did not.
It's not far. So usually when I actually want to go back home during the weekend where I actually got the time to go home,
right,
I would just walk home. Like, there's no reason for my parents to come pick me up when I could just walk home.
Exactly.
Do you get homesick at all then?
No.
There's no concept of homesick if you live 10 minutes away from home.
So that's not life away from home, then that's life at home.
No, it's a new environment, it's a new place.
Yeah.
I don't live with my family, so technically it is away from home, so the definition sticks.
Do you deliberately apply for that boarding school?
No, so the type of boarding school that I applied for, it's this general...
application.
It's not. Yeah, it's a general application. It's a semi-private, semi-government school that has different schools in different states of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the names quite randomly to different schools, basically.
Sure.
And just so happened that my name got picked out into this boarding school that is apparently just in front of my house.
So what was your experience like when you first left home?
It didn't feel that much of a difference, to be honest. Same country, same...
same state.
Yeah, same state.
Same residential area.
So whatever weather that my parents are getting, I'm also getting it. It's so bizarre that I'm home, but also not home. But it is still... It is considered a new experience for me because I was sharing my room with a stranger and also... you know, it's a schedule of like going to school, having to do activities, and you know, I'm not governed by my parents. It's not like I can make my own choices to some extent, so it's different still.
Okay, so then you're telling me that the first time you left, you're fine, didn't feel like a huge change, but at any point after that, did you ever feel the shock of leaving the nest?
Not really. Actually, no, it doesn't.
Right.
I think to some extent, when I was 16, I'm the youngest of my siblings, and my brother and my sister also went to boarding school, which are a lot further away than
right.
home.
Okay.
And I was basically home alone. My parents work a lot, so I was constantly at home alone, and I longed to hang out with my friends at school or doing other things.
Mm.
So in some essence, I was ready to leave. I was ready to go.
Mm.
And so every time I need to move somewhere, in my mind, there's this thought of like, all right, new environment, new place. It's a place where I can establish myself. So I'm more excited than I am sad or you know, worried what's going to happen. So I'm more excited. Nervous is there. But yeah, so that has been my experience.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I went to a boarding school as well at the same age, 16. So a little bit matured by then.
Yeah.
I was terrified. And when I went there for the first time, I was shocked to the core. It was far beyond what I was comfortable with.
Right.
Because for the first time, you know, you are bound by a strict rule of, you know, the way that the school is managed and run. And, you know, you have very strict schedules to go by. You wake up very early, you sleep very late because of all the activities.
Yeah.
I was homesick like nobody's
Aww.
Business. Like, and the only thing that kept me going, however, was the fact that I didn't want to, like, give up midway because,
yeah.
truth be told, I just like to prove people and myself wrong that I can
yeah.
withstand the difficulties that come with living away from home. I'm talking about simple stuff at that time. Mm. It, right now, it may sound trivial, but food was not the best in comparison to what you get at home.
No.
You have to wash your own laundry at the time. And when you wash everything by hand and your soap to water ratio is not great, you have lots of soap residue. And your t-shirts can end up like a board, like a very stiff. It's horrible.
Oh, no. The learning curve for that.
That's all like rites of passage. Of
rites
of adult, right?
Yeah.
Precisely. I went to an old boys school, not too far from home, like an hour from home in Seremban, which is another state in Malaysia. Not a city, really, not a state. Yeah. But I was afraid of being potentially bullied, but it was fine. You know, mostly I was just missing my friends back home. There was a lot of cultural adjustment, moving from KL into a different state school. Mm-hmm. And the first 6 months were painful, but after that, you know, I think it really taught me a lot about independence, and it made me a little bit more resilient, I think.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
It sounds like you went through quite a, I won't say terrible time, but difficult time in boarding school. But what pushed you to actually decide to go then? Why leave home at 16?
It was strategic. I knew that opportunities would open up. Via boarding school.
Mm. Yeah.
And rightfully so it did. So I have no regrets. And I made some really good friends there and I really learned a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I attribute a lot of the person that I am today to the fact that I did leave home at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
Not too young necessarily, but at the age of 16.
Yeah. Right.
I think considering that we've grown up in our parents' house until 16, that is still considered young because you've not been exposed by the external environment and living somewhere else. So you're still quite immature to some extent. So.
Well, in that case, then I'm even more immature than you guys because I didn't leave my house till I was 18. And I was supposed to go to the same old boys school as Mugat.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
really? I passed it. I passed it. I did the application, passed it, as Mugat said. It made a lot of strategic sense in terms of education back then.
Yeah.
But then when we got it, my mom was like, nah, you don't have to go. And I'm like, sure, I'm not going then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I left home and I was 18 and I got a scholarship to go to Japan, basically. Spent a few months in Malaysia to learn Japanese, just enough to be able to, say, go to a grocery store and ask where the milk is, for example. That level of Japanese.
Yeah.
Then ended up going to Tokyo, spent about 1.5 to 2 years worth of time in a Japanese language school to really learn Japanese, because basically when you're in Tokyo, everything's Japanese. Your interaction in English is very minimal, and you will find that rare gem of being able to speak English in, say, 2-3 times in a month, for example.
Oh,
and you'll be so happy to speak English then. But my experience would be slightly different because I'm basically sort of deep diving in a totally different environment.
Yeah.
And that was my first time really just being independent.
That's actually quite drastic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to us, we're nothing.
No, I'm going to say that the most drastic environment I changed to when I went to boarding school was the fact that speaking English in the public domain was frowned upon in my school at the time. People would laugh at me or target me just because I spoke English, or even if I could, or even by virtue of being able to speak English, or even spoke Malay with a horrible slang.
Not the horrible slang, but the slang that is almost saying that I grew up speaking English.
I know. Malay. So I had to learn, like, I had to kind of, you know,
bring it down a notch.
Yeah, adapt, right? Assimilate.
Yeah.
Assimilate.
I think that's what it is. In boarding school, the thing is, everyone comes from different places, different countries, so they're brought up in a different way and as how you were. And there's this kind of a hierarchy of, like, who grew up in the capital city of Malaysia than other people who grew up in, like, south of Malaysia or east of Malaysia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have this drastic difference.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. I think looking back, I think the first few years in Japan was definitely scary in a way, but same as you, Karen, I was very excited because it's an adventure.
Yeah.
And I saw it as going away from home being in a way to rebuild myself. Like, I wanted to be this kind of person, this new kind of person. And because I'm away from everyone else who I've met before, maybe just one or two people I know, I can sort of rebuild maybe my character or personality. I think in hindsight, I didn't think I really changed that much, but it was just the opportunity to be able to attempt that. And we went through all the rites of passage in terms of like, oh, we had to bring our laundry to a different place, to go to a laundromat. I basically lived in a very small room in Tokyo. I learned how to cut chicken by looking at YouTube while cutting it on my desk. Doing my bed sheets for the first time. Yes, I am very pampered. I didn't do much chores back home till I was 17. So yeah, it was just learning how to be an adult back then. And I was very embarrassed that I couldn't do a lot of things at that age. But the thing is, I was with friends who were going through the same thing. So that was exciting. It was very fun.
Yeah, I think I kind of relate with you, Riz, in terms of that experience of building a new, not really building a new identity, but just having that blank slate to be your own person. Because I grew up going to the same school as my sister and my brother, and we're very close in terms of years age gap.
Yeah.
And so every time I go to a class and there's a teacher who taught my brother or my sister previously would know me as being their younger sister. And so they already have this image of like, oh, she must have been like this, or she should be like this, when in fact I am my own person, you know?
Yeah.
So living underneath this shadow is a bit like kind of annoying at times, but you know, you can't take so many things out of being a sister in a small town. So anyway, I think it's nice to be able to have that opportunity to build your own identity based on experience and all that stuff, really.
So going to the next stage, you moved to the UK, Magad. Is that any different? How was it different?
To be honest, the UK was such an easy transition. Heck, I think that was not even a notion of transition. When I came here, I was already away from home since I was 16 for 4 years, boarding school and boarding college as well for my A-level. So I was pretty independent by then, I would think. I also came here with lots of people that I knew.
Yeah.
Most of the people from my college came to the UK. I was living in the same student accommodation as one of my closest friends. And there was a lot of support in London for me.
I see.
It didn't feel any difficult. The language, you know, I spoke English as well. I didn't have to learn any other new language. So it was easy.
It was a pretty soft landing for you then, in that sense.
Soft. Very, very soft.
So in that... So let me force this out of you then. What was the most difficult thing to adapt then?
In the UK?
Yeah.
I think socializing with people outside of my Malaysian bubble at the start. Because I didn't appreciate how differences in culture, differences in upbringing translate into different ways that people actually operate. It's actually difficult to have and sustain a conversation when there is a lacking sense of commonality.
Right.
And I didn't realize that that was going to be the case. So then the first few years, I was more hanging around with my Malaysian friends a lot, and it was difficult to expand my bubble, which I think was maybe the hardest part, but you know, I overcame it when I started working here, I think
I felt the same way when I was in Japan as well, because, well, first of all, there's the language barrier, but also because, as you said, there's a lack of commonality, there's lack of overlap of what I share with, say, Japanese people. I ended up making a lot more friends among, well, who we call foreigners there, or international people, non-Japanese people back there, because we were all going through this transition or journey about assimilating ourselves to the Japanese culture. So we became our own, who you call gaijin bubbles. So whenever I go for like stand-up comedies in Japan, and there's always a gaijin or a foreigner who gives out jokes about living in Japan, I can't relate with those guys really much. Those really resonate with me, because I'm part of that group. But yeah, that was a difficulty and challenge for me as well in Japan. When you moved to the States, Karin, how was that then? Was it any different?
I probably have a different experience than you two, because I actually was so excited going to the States. I was ready to experience the American lifestyle.
America!
Murica.
Murica.
What Murica has to offer.
So remind us, which part of the US did you go?
So I went to Rochester, which is in upstate New York. To be fair, when I first got the scholarship to go to America, my mom was so excited. So she went to study in America as well for quite a long time, and she had to work there for quite a number of years as well. Right. And so she kind of gave me all this wisdom, like, oh, you're going to enjoy your time there. Mm-hmm. You're going to make so many friends. So yeah. In that essence, having that badge of approval by my mom is kind of like pushed me towards going outside of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I landed there, I've already made friends with the local over there. Wow. And it's actually one of my best friends now. And he introduced me to quite a lot of his friends there. And then... and then I just went off, really.
So basically, Kyrene amongst us all never actually had to ever miss home.
Yeah, and her home was actually America.
No, Malaysia's always my home. What are you guys talking about?
But then, what were the challenges then in terms of...
No challenges.
I want to force out one of her.
Right, yes. So I think the challenge there was... So I'm a practicing Muslim, and I would eat halal meat in general anyway. And... Oh, at that time I was eating meat. And at the place that I went to, it's really hard to get access to halal meat or even halal food in general. So I was eating a lot of basically unhealthy stuff, unhealthy vegetarian stuff. We're talking cheese pasta, cheese pizza, and cheese and more cheese. Wow. It was divine. And the freshman 15 was real. So freshman 15 is what they call... where people who just went into university the first year, they call them freshmen, and then the 15 is the 15 pounds that you gain during the first year. But I was way more than that, but it's fine. Well, I enjoyed it.
Sounds like the dream.
Yeah.
The question I have is, are you guys ready to go back home to Malaysia or wherever home is for the listeners?
Do we have to be ready? What if you're not given a choice?
Well, if you don't have a choice, then you just have to go back home. But I'd like to believe that everyone has a choice. It just comes with certain consequences.
So, I was in Japan for about 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, I was given a... I started working with a company in Japan, which then had a project in Malaysia. So I was basically dispatched by the company to go back to Malaysia. And I can see it as I didn't really have a choice. Because first of all, I didn't have any other career opportunities, nor did I have the visa to continue staying in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I guess that falls under what you just said just now, Kyrene, that I didn't really have a choice, or that only seemed like the only path for me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't adverse to it, or rather, I think I was quite excited and happy that I'd be able to go back and live with my family and spend more time with old friends, people I knew back in Malaysia. And it was just really nice to be in Malaysia for long, rather than going back for a holiday which only lasts maybe usually 2 weeks, 3 weeks at once. So going back to Malaysia then, was I ready? I think I was a bit in a complicated predicament because I had to leave Japan quite quickly. I would have loved to have a bit more time to really meet my friends and just say goodbye properly. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't really have a choice, I went back
quite suddenly.
But was I ready back then? I think so. It wasn't a shock or like I had a lot of baggage back in Japan, but I just saw it as, okay, this is my opportunity to go back to Malaysia and see how is it like back home, being now a more matured, independent adult. Mm-hmm. Though I'll still be staying with my family, I think my lifestyle of staying with my family was quite different. It was me going to work, focus on that, meeting my friends, and family was something that was around me as a comfort zone that I could always reach out to at any time. Hmm. It was nice, it was refreshing. It was very comforting for me for a while. But after staying in Malaysia for about a year or so, I started feeling, it would be really nice to have opportunities to go somewhere else. I felt like my career in Malaysia was going somewhere, but I still saw a lot of opportunity outside. Mm-hmm. And because I had friends in the UK and also other countries, I felt like, oh, it'd be awesome to... experience what they do there as well. Because I'm pretty sure it'll be very different compared to what I had in Japan.
You've been back home, you enjoyed it, kind of wanted change. Now you've gone abroad again.
Yeah.
Now you've been in the UK for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you think about going back home in the foreseeable future?
The thing I feel about home is really related to how I see myself or my identity. One thing that I've experienced when I went back to Malaysia is that I felt like a part of me didn't really come home, and that I think I associated to one, the language, but also culture. I grew up in Japan. I became an adult in Japan. And that part of me stayed in Japan, or at least stayed with the Japanese language and culture. And that's something that I cannot express to people in Malaysia who do not understand the language nor culture.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come to the UK, I feel the same way. A part of me is in Malaysia, a part of me is in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But not to say that I don't embrace those two parts or I will never be whole. It's just that I don't think anyone could really understand my whole identity in that sense. So what is home then? Home to me is then someone who I can really express myself with properly and someone I can feel fully comfortable with. So I would say Malaysia is, I can call Malaysia home, but I would gladly call Japan my second home as well.
Yeah.
And I think if I live here in the UK long enough and I've established my roots here long enough, I think I will be happy to call UK my home as well after a while. Mm. So yeah, it depends where my heart is, basically.
Yeah, I think I understand where you're coming from. And I think I've talked to a bunch of people who kind of live this nomad lifestyle where they grew up at different places.
Mm.
And to them, there's never a one place where they would call home.
Yeah.
It's always the experience and the people that they meet, and that's where home is to them.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
So my experience would have been a bit different from you guys, I believe. What's home to you then, Megat?
I think my definition is a bit more simplistic. Home is Malaysia. I think even though I've been away from Malaysia for the longest time, Malaysia is where I feel I'm going to end up, like, in the long term anyway. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to be close to family. Point is, I think being close to family, mom and dad, is quite important to me.
Mm.
Just because otherwise I think I'd live a life where most of my time off from work would have to be spent going back to Malaysia and trying to fulfill my family obligations in a very short period of time, which mm-hmm. is actually quite stressful for me. I don't have the luxury of, you know, just forgetting about going back home for a year or so. In 1 year, I have to go back at least once. And it can get quite a bit much and overwhelming trying to squeeze everything within that 2 weeks. I think going back home means that I no longer have to do that.
Mm.
And in some way, whilst I'm sacrificing my privacy and my free time of that I have in the UK, in many ways, I'm also getting a lot of freedom from it as well.
Mm.
More ability to use my free time, my days off from work, to do the things of my choosing, to go to the place that I've wanted to go, because I wouldn't have had the time to do so for the most parts.
Yeah.
What about you, Kylie?
I think for me, probably a bit similar to yours. I've moved houses quite a lot. Well, not a lot, but a significant amount when I was in Malaysia. And my mom had to move elsewhere as well for work for a number of years. So it's never just a place for me. It's more of the people.
Mm.
And to some extent, I do feel what you felt when you say that you have this experience in Japan that is make you into this whole different person. So to some extent, you will never get it in Malaysia.
Mm.
And I felt that as well when I was in the States. And also now that I'm here for quite a number of years as well, I feel like I'm more settled here to some extent. So yeah, home is just the people around me, really, not the location.
So let's say in a hypothetical scenario that all your friends are no longer in the UK. For some reason, they've moved out.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider leaving the UK?
Probably I would. I initially had a plan of going back to the States at some point, but I found out that a lot of my friends that I made in the States were living this nomad lifestyle and they're no longer based in the States.
Right.
And so at that point, I feel like, you know what? I think I'm all right. There's really not much out there anymore in terms of home for me at this point. But yeah.
You know what scares me about, I think, going back to Malaysia is just the notion of having to earn less in absolute terms when you convert your salary or your income to the Malaysian ringgit versus whatever you earn here. I mean, lifestyle-wise, I think it wouldn't actually be too bad in comparison. But it's just thinking about the, you know, the revenue opportunities. Sometimes it just terrifies you, but at the same time, you know.
It's you're looking for, I think in this case, you can only compare not by money value, but more of like the relationship that you built with your family back home. And that has no value whatsoever.
That, and also to be honest, like with whatever you earn in Malaysia, with the current level that I am in my current job, I think you can still be quite comfortable. You could buy a house, you could potentially, you know, get a car, and you know, you could still eat quite well.
Yeah.
I think you just have to detach yourself from
this expectation that you're going to get the same thing that you get.
Or being able to purchase a lot of luxury items. Not that I do, but for sure, you know, luxury branded stuff might be more expensive in comparison because they're all imported, and relative to the Malaysian ringgit, it's going to be very expensive, and it's going to be a huge percentage of your salary. But you just have to come to terms that, you know, your lifestyle has to change, and you need to live a more local life to be more frugal.
So let me ask this question then. Knowing that you could possibly have a better quality of life out of away from home, would that push you to actually leave home? Or what would actually be a reason that would push you to leave home, to settle somewhere else? So to our listeners, what do you think? What would be the reason that would push you to actually settle away from home? Share with us your thoughts at our Twitter handle, The Enablers Pod. We look forward to listening to your opinions out there, and maybe we can bring this discussion further.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely let us know. Until then, see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.